Hello, Tea Crew, and welcome to this brand new episode of Tea Talk with Sha. Today, we're going to be getting into all the topics all over social media and the internet, and we're also going to be doing a deep dive into Beyoncé's new album, Cowboy Carter. You're not going to want to miss this episode. Stay tuned. All right, Tea Crew, as per usual, the tea is super hot, so we got to go ahead and get straight into it. I hope you guys had an amazing holiday weekend for all that celebrate the holiday of Easter, but the tea won't wait, so let's get straight into it. Simon is getting very petty in his divorce to Portia, and for those that don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about Simon Gobadia. I'm talking about Iosa Gobadia. I'm talking about Ivory Gobadia. Nobody even knows his real first name, but he's getting very petty when it comes to his divorce with Portia. Now, the couple had been married for 15 months, a little over a year, when they called it quits earlier. And Portia did do an interview earlier last week where she did admit that she filed for divorce when she found out about some of the things from Simon's past in his citizenship case. So we talked about this extensively in a past episode, but just as a catch up, Simon went to apply for citizenship, and in his application process, they found that he had been applied under several different names. He had overstayed his visas in the past. He had different criminal charges on his record that were stopping him from getting a permanent resident visa in the U.S. And these are all things that Portia was not aware of. And when she did come to know of these things, she went ahead and filed for divorce because she just did not see how, you know, Simon was going to be able to stay in the country and make good on the promises that he made to her. She also said in the interview that he promised to fully take care of her, fully take care of her daughter, Pilar, and that he completely was not able to make good on those promises. Now, if we remember back, way back in time, when basically after 3 or 4 weeks of dating, Portia decided to marry Simon, this was something that really shocked the world. But I truly believe that Simon made her a lot of promises. She was touching a lot of money. She was going on a lot of trips. She really felt like this lifestyle was real. Now, where the money is coming from, nobody can really be sure, because Simon does have a multitude of opposed businesses and different things that he has going on, but nobody can really pinpoint the kind of money that he seems to be showing off with his businesses and with his entrepreneurial ventures. So anyway, the latest thing is Simon has set forth legal documentation to try to get Truly Original to not film on his property or near and or around his home. Now, this comes into conflict with Portia being on season 16 because they need to be able to film inside of her house. They need to be able to film the surrounding areas of her house. Now, whether or not Simon wants to take part in the season, you know, is completely up to him. And because they're divorced or they're getting divorced, you know, that's not an issue that Truly Original and Bravo can really push right now. But it does present an issue because, you know, in their prenuptial agreement, Portia's claim on the home is that, you know, Simon would get 60 days to vacate the home and that Portia would get the home in case of a divorce, because we all know what Portia went through when she was married to Cordell Stewart, and Cordell basically put her out of the house and she had to move in with Mama Diane. So she's like, I'm not going through that this time. God forbid something happens to my marriage. I want the marital home. It's going to be mine and my child's, and we're not going to go anywhere. He's going to have to pack up his stuff and get out. So 60 days after filing was, I think they said March 22nd that he was supposed to be out. So March 22nd has came and gone, child. And, you know, he's asking for more time. He, you know, I think she was able to get a few items out of the home, and then Simon went and changed the locks. He also called the cops to allegedly keep the peace when Portia came to the home with a security guard so that things would not escalate. It is just getting very, very messy. I do think that Portia is taking care of herself. I think she's surrounding herself with her really good friends, Shamia, her little sister, Dennis, who, she co-parents Pilar with. So she has a lot of people in her life that have her back, and that are helping her get through this very difficult time. But, Simon's very messy. I really feel like Simon and Gordon, need to go ahead and open up their applications for house husbands, because if they could pay Joe Gorga, they could definitely cut Simon a check. They could definitely cut Gordon a check. And way back when, Peter was vying also to be a real husband of Atlanta back in the day when he was married to Cynthia. But some of these husbands are just more wild and eccentric than their wives. It is like insanity, how much they really want to be in the spotlight and how they really cannot walk away from it. You know what I mean? All right. Let's get into the next topic here. Joe Budden got on his podcast and proposed that possibly Drake is getting a piece of Sexy Red's deal, and that's why he's always promoting her and basically just being the biggest Sexy Red fan in the world, right? So Sexy immediately got on Twitter or X or whatever, and she dispelled this. She was like, "Man, y'all believe anything? Like, he is not getting a piece of my deal. We're just friends. He supports me. He's in my videos, and that's it. We're just friends and collaborators." I don't know. I think Joe Budden sometimes has like wild theories. This one though, because it's like right from the beginning, Drake has kind of dug his hooks into Sexy Red, and really, really been a big fan of the music that she's doing, her tours, her appearances. Drake will pull up. He did the Rich Baby Daddy collab, which was huge. It's still big, with SZA and the whole music video of like her giving birth and the whole thing. So he really has invested a lot of his time into Sexy Red's career. But honestly, I just think it's because they're friends. I don't think there's really anything that he's getting out of it financially. I just think that he thinks that she's dope and he likes how genuine she is. I was honestly getting to the point with Sexy that I was just like, I don't know if I really need another Sexy song. But then I really started humming Get It Sexy. I gotta be honest with y'all. And I was like, dang it, she's done it again. Because I was listening to it and I was like, oh, that's an A Baby sample. So I was listening to it for that. And then she did a music video with Soulja Boy and she did it like a Y2K theme for the music video, and I was like, man, I really also like this song. Like, I found myself adding it to my little playlist or whatever. I also saw her on Kick stream with Aiden Ross, and that kind of made me like her also because she's just so cool. Like, she's just like, man, I blew up, you know? She's like a hood chick. She just blew up. She's just enjoying her career and her success. And I don't know. As a black woman, sometimes it's just like, even though everything she does isn't for me, I just can't hate it. I can't hate it. You know what I mean? It's just like, what would I really hate about it? The music is catchy. It's very like hummable. It's very singable. It gets the party going. You know what I mean? And she's a black woman winning. Like, how could I hate on that? I just can't. I can't find it in my heart to hate on that. I just can't. All right, let's get into this next topic here. So there has been a Real Housewives of Atlanta, a Real Housewives of Potomac shakeup. So I am now doing the episodes on Sunday nights because it's just easier, like less chaos when I'm recording versus trying to do it during my workday on Monday. It's just like way too much going on. So having said that, the announcements from Candace and the proposed announcement from Robin that they're leaving Real Housewives of Potomac came out after I had recorded and I had just spoken about the like groundbreaking finale revelation. So I didn't want to do like back-to-back Potomac content. But basically, Candace made an official statement that she's not returning for the next season. Robin has not made a statement from, her own statement, but, insiders have said that she will not be returning for another season. Fans are wondering, will Ashley be asked back to return? Now, we haven't seen any parts of the reunion. I think it's actually airing as I speak, or part one might be airing like tonight, and I'll watch it tomorrow. But we haven't heard any official word from Ashley. This is the thing with Ashley. I truly feel like her time at Potomac has to come to an end. Her divorce with Michael was a charade. In released clips of the reunion, she talks about rubbing his feet. She talks about not being ready to divorce him, how they're living separate lives, in different homes, but she's just not ready to completely close the door. And it's like, Ashley, you have played in our faces for so many seasons, not to mention you instigated the issues between NECA and Wendy to the point where we didn't even get to see NECA as a housewife, and we don't even know if she's going to get another season. We didn't get to dig into, you know, her fertility journey that she's going through with Ike. We didn't get to go through like what she's, you know, experiencing moving from LA to Potomac, like moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, like being around this friend group. Like, because you started this whole thing about the shrine between her and Wendy, that's literally all we got out of her. And this is why I agree with Andy when he says he tries to give people two seasons. I know Amari Wiley only got one season on Beverly Hills, but I truly think I wanted NECA to get another season because I just felt like this whole situation was instigated by Ashley to kick up some drama so she wouldn't have to talk about her fake divorce. And I don't feel like that's fair to NECA. Unpopular opinion. Y'all be dragging me all the time, telling me to be quiet, telling me y'all know what I'm talking about whenever I talk about housewives, but True T Bravo fans, y'all need to give NECA another shot. Like, she does have things going on in her life. We were not able to find out about those things because she took the bait from Ashley and she completely just went head first into this situation with Wendy because possibly, and this is just my opinion, I feel like Wendy wanted to be the only Nigerian woman on the show. I feel like that was her kind of claim to fame. She's beautiful, she's educated. You know, she's Nigerian. And I think that that's what she wanted to be her identity when they said they wanted to bring another Nigerian cast wife on. I think she felt a little bit afraid that they were trying to replace her or they were trying to, you know, push her aside for this new person. But I would love to see NECA get another season because I just feel like we didn't get any NECA. We just got the stupid shrine drama over and over that nobody really cared about for real. And also now it's been rumored, last little Potomac thing, you know, because when I hear things in the street, I try to tell y'all, it's been rumored that Robin is not getting fired, that she is possibly getting demoted to friend of so she can talk about Karen Huger's DUI. Girl, when I heard that, I was like, because I was like, who else would really sit there and bring up the DUI and want to talk about it with the ladies? Because Karen's cool with everybody, right? Karen is Switzerland for the most part. She gets down with many groups within the group. You know, she tries to bring everybody together. And when usually when Karen calls, the girls will come, right? So to have the conversation, the difficult conversation next season about her drinking and possible things that are going on, you know, they're saying that they want Robin there for that conversation. I don't know. You know, I don't know if Robin is even the cast member to accurately have this conversation with Karen. You know what I mean? I just, I would be hard pressed. I would be hard pressed to know that, but you know, that's what I'm hearing. So I wanted to bring it up to you guys, get your thoughts as always. All right, let's move on to this next topic here. Lizzo quits music because of critiques on her body. When I saw this, my initial reaction was like, girl, first of all, you had a character assassination, a full-on character assassination earlier, what, like late last year when those women came forward against you. And we all thought, even I thought, that you were going to be fully canceled from that situation, that you were not going to be able to bounce back from those allegations that those dancers made. But you did, you know, she was on the Grammy stage, she did award season. People have been talking about it like less and less, if at all. And she really bounced back from this situation. I don't know if it's been resolved legally, but in the court of public opinion, nobody cares about that lawsuit anymore. I'm just gonna tell you, nobody cares. Nobody's bringing it up. It's just poof, vamoose into thin air. And now you're talking about quitting music because of people's critiques. I was like, girl, if you don't post what you want to post and turn those comments off, you are bad, you are rich, you are making good music, you are making good money, you got a fine black man who loves you. I do not understand why you are so pressed to read through your comments and really like soak in other people's perception of you. Like, I just don't understand why you're still doing it at this stage of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's very weird to me. And if, you know, she ever crosses this podcast and I can talk directly to Lizzo, I'd be like, girl, if you don't turn them comments off, if you don't hire a social media manager to handle your social media and live in real life and enjoy your real life, because in real life, ain't nobody saying that stuff to you. In real life, you're really popping. You know, and I don't know if this stems from the Candace Owens comments, because you know, Candace Owens has been, you know, trolling the black community, coming around the Breakfast Club. I heard she's gonna do Shannon Sharp. She did Joe Budden. And now the black community is supposed to care what Candace Owens thinks. Like, are y'all kidding me? I don't know about the rest of y'all, because we are not a monolith, okay? We all have different opinions of as black people. And I'm sure there's black conservatives out there. But for me, don't come into these black spaces, Candace, now that you got fired from your other job and Ben Shapiro done walked out on you. Don't come to black spaces now knocking at our door to give your little whitewashed opinions. Like, for me, it's a dub. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. For me, I'd be happy if you just like evaporate into the ether. If I never have to hear your opinion again, it'll be too soon. 'Cause you never talking about nothing. Ever. Ever. Okay? Talking about the disenfranchisement of black people, what black people need to do, what black people need. You married a white man. What are you even talking about? The community and what you're building and like, are you kidding me, Candace? Sorry, I just had to drag Candace real quick because I can't. Like, I'm gonna need her to really go somewhere. But anyway, back to Lizzo. Love yourself. Get off social media. Touch grass. Don't quit music because you make amazing music. And I don't really understand why you'd want to do that in the first place. Like, if you don't let these haters go on with their bad self, all they got to do all day is pick Cheetos out of their belly button and lay on the couch and rotate so they literally don't get dry skin on the back of their legs. That's all they're doing all day. All right, let's get into the next topic here. Safari declines to spill the tea on Nicki Minaj, and I respect it. So, Safari went on to the Jason Lee show, and you know, of course, Jason Lee has his gripes with Nicki Minaj. They went back and forth, and you know, the whole bit. And so he has Safari on. So him and Safari are good friends. They used to be on Love and Hip Hop together, and he just knew that when Safari came on his show, he was gonna really get into the thing of the things and spill the tea on the queen of rap herself, right? And he didn't do it. He got up there and Jason had very specific questions for him about different incidences that may or may not have happened in their relationship. And Safari really declined to answer like all of them. And the reason why I respect it is because those two were in a long-term relationship and a long-term working relationship. And it seems like now different aspects of their relationship are being brought up either with old interviews with Kanye or just interviews in general, where both of them are being discussed. And I really think that it's pretty dope that he's like, no, I'm not gonna speak on that. Like, she's in a good place, she's on tour, you know, she's happy with her life. I'm happy in my life. Like, he just signed a new deal with Ray J, and he's gonna be doing the Ray J TV thing, whatever Ray J's got going on now. And you know, they're both just happy and moved on, and there's no need to dig up those skeletons. And I was also kind of thinking that That'd be a little messy. I was also kind of thinking that the reason why Safari can't speak up on those things that happened in his relationship with Nicki Minaj is because there's other things over the course of time that happened in their relationship. You know what I mean? Like, he knows where the bodies are buried, but so does she. She knows his tea, and she hasn't spilled his tea either. So I think they both have like a mutual destruction button. Like, they're like, I'm not about to talk about this. You're not going to talk about this because at the end of the day, we both know way too much about each other to be getting into the things of the things, especially with like Hollywood Unlocked or one of these big blogs. Like, we are not about to do that to each other because they really, were in the trenches together, and they really came up together. And I honestly am just like, you know what? I wish we could see more of that in this day of exposing and people telling everything. And I get it, it's an oxymoron because I am on here spilling the tea, but at the same time, it's just like it gets to be a lot when you see people doing it maliciously, and especially with certain things that could still hurt the person's career to this day. You know what I mean? It's like, ain't no need to do that at all, you know? All right, let's get into this last topic here, Diddy update. So last week I went live twice talking about everything that happened with Diddy. So for more specific details, go onto my Instagram page, and I reposted both of those lives, one from Monday, one from Friday, where we talk about the federal raids, the new like additions to the indictment that Tyrone Blackburn filed, and just the things of the things. So if you want to know more information on that, go ahead and catch up on those lives. But as far as anything that came out since then, it's been pretty quiet since then. You know, Diddy is walking around, he is free, he's celebrating spring break with his twins. He was caught at a juice bar with Stevie J, you know, throwing up the love sign. And all this. And honestly, people are surprised by that. I'm not. I think he's gonna try to enjoy his freedom and be outside as much as he can until he gets, until that arrest warrant comes down. That's my thought on that. I mean, I'm just like, until the arrest warrant comes down, he is technically, a free man. While they're gathering evidence and putting the case together, he can enjoy, what freedom he has left. And I think that that's his right to do that until they finish building the case against him. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people's opinion is, you should stay down, you should be home, you should be whatever. But, unfortunately and fortunately, a lot of us have never been in that situation, so it's not like we would know what we would do. And he's just, being outside while he can be outside, in my opinion. And so is Carisha. Oh my God, I might have to do a mini sip on Carisha's reaction to Diddy's downfall. Like, Carisha's reaction to Diddy's downfall needs to be studied. She is outside. She hasn't deactivated any of her social media accounts. She is open about not being involved. She doesn't care that she's been brought up in numerous lawsuits. She's just outside. She's somewhere twerking on a boat in Miami, like, whatever. Amazing. I really cannot wait to see how this case unfurls because it has been insane. It has been such a ride already, and we're nowhere near an indictment. We haven't even gotten arrest yet, but it's just like, wow. All right, everyone. This has been this week's trending topics. Stay tuned for our sports report.
Hello, hello, hello out there, and welcome to the Sports Update with J-Rob. Today, I will be covering both the NFL and the NBA. Let's get started with NFL news. In NFL news, the Carolina Panthers have signed veteran pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney to a two-year deal worth $20 million. Also, in NFL news, the Denver Broncos have signed wide receiver Josh Reynolds to a two-year contract worth $14 million. And finally, in NFL news, the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed Cordarrelle Patterson to a two-year contract worth $6 million. Patterson is a triple threat. He can play running back, wide receiver, and kick returner. Now let's move to NBA news. In NBA news, the Charlotte Hornets guard LaMelo Ball will miss the rest of the NBA regular season to rehab his ankle injury. Also, in NBA news, New Orleans Pelicans forward Brandon Ingram will be out at least 1 week due to a knee contusion. And finally, in NBA news, the Boston Celtics have clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics are currently 57-16 on the season. And this has been the Sports Update with J-Rob. Have an amazing week.
All right, T-Crew, it's time for my favorite part of the podcast, the deep dive. And y'all already know what we are talking about today. We are talking about Act 2 of Beyoncé, Giselle, Knowles Carter's album series, the three-part series. And we are in the middle of it, right in the precipice with Cowboy Carter. I wish these are times that I wish I had the clap sound effects, so I'll just kind of make it with my other hand. So ghetto. We're gonna get better, y'all. We're gonna get a national sponsor this year. Knock on wood, we're gonna get better. We're gonna have all the things and the things. But anyway, back into it. Cowboy Carter came out on this Good Friday, and baby, was it a good Friday, because I stayed up Thursday night to listen to it, because I know how Beyonce gets down lately, and I love this. She will just at midnight drop all of the songs on YouTube, because, you know, depending on what streaming platforms you use, don't drag me, I still use Napster, they don't always get the albums right away, or they'll get the like clean version, but they won't get the explicit version, or they won't get the extended version. And it's like, you have to wait till 2 or 3 in the morning, but Beyonce will drop every single song on YouTube. So I was like, well, let me go over to YouTube. And then I think like 12:30, 1 o'clock, they put it on Napster. So I was able to just listen to it without having to click through the videos. But I was like, well, I know that the videos will be out. Let me go listen to the videos on YouTube. And boy, howdy. Like, I just, somebody tweeted or posted on X, this Creole woman with the bundles done did it again with the Mekhi Phifer meme where he's smoking all them cigarettes. That's how I feel. It's like, Beyonce, how did you turn country like this? Like, you, girl, Danielle Pinnock said it best, no notes. Like, I truly have no notes. When I think about this album, when I was writing, you know, notes for this album, just to review it with you all, I was just like, I can't really, because this is the thing, right? And if you listen to the podcast, you know this. When Beyonce first went solo, I was like obsessed, right? So that's the Crazy in Love, Dangerously in Love, the whole thing, right? The whole first album, I played it out, completely played it out. But then somewhere along the way, it just got to be too much for me. It was just too much, like maybe saturation of the market, just seeing her all the time. It was like Beyonce, Beyonce, Beyonce. And I was just like, oh girl, like it just got me so, so, so tired of seeing her, right? But then the Lemonade album came out and I was like, oh, she got something to say. She got something to say, and she's about to say it. Like, she got something to say, and she's about to say it. Like, that album really made me a fan again, because just as a person who's gone through things in their life, like, I think everybody can identify with a toxic feeling relationship, being cheated on, and then trying to figure out, like, what you're going to do, you know, towards the end of that, you know, Great Songs or whatever, that she had at the end, All Night and whatever, and that, you know, they made up and then she got pregnant with the twins and the whole thing. But like the beginning of the album to like Sandcastles, and then that like forward interlude, oh my God. And this is not even a Lemonade review. This is supposed to be a Cowboy Carter review, but I'm just saying, like, for context, that's when I was like, okay, like, this is not, you know, Bootylicious. And it's no shade to Bootylicious or, you know, the poppy songs that are like that. But this is, that album to me was like, all right, like, there's definitely more beneath the surface to Beyonce, right? So then I became a fan, and then Renaissance came out, and I was like, this is a cultural reset. Like, just the reclaiming of house music, just the joy, just the liberation, just the sheer, I was like, I don't care what's going on, I have to be at this tour, point blank, period. And I was, you know, blessed and fortunate enough to get tickets and to go see her in Philly, and it was amazing. And it's still like one of the best concert experiences probably that I've had in my entire life. And I'm a concert girly, so I've seen a lot of, you know, your faves, and she really, really, really did the damn thing. Like, Beyonce really did it. But I had told myself, I was like, you know, act two is country, act three is supposedly rock. And I was like, you know, it just pushed me even more to go see the dance one, because I was just like, I just don't know if I'm really going to connect with the cowboy one, and if I'm, or the country one, and if I'm really going to connect with the rock one, because it's not really genres that I actually listen to like that. When she said this was not a country album, this is a Beyonce album, I was like, heard you. And it absolutely, like, when I listened to the album, I was like, whoa. First of all, can we start with Blackbird? Like, Blackbird, this version, amazing. Having Tanner be on it, the girl from Buckle Bunnies, who is a country artist who, you know, loves Beyonce, and to be have her featured on the song, I'm like, excuse me? And then we, you know, we get into the ballads. I love the Miley ballad. It's so sweet. It does remind me of Landslide. And then I found out that this song is their interpretation of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide. Now, let's go back a little bit, because I listened to this song when I was a kid, and I used to watch Jack Frost. Jack Frost was a movie with, Michael Keaton. So Michael Keaton was a snowman. Follow me. Michael Keaton was a snowman, and he had this Christmas movie, and they were supposed to be like some type of country band. And in the song, in the movie, the song Landslide comes on. And I just remember liking that song so much as a kid. And my mom was like, it's so interesting because it's a country song, and it's like an older country song. It's not even like a new country song. And I was just like, Landslide brought me down. Like, I just loved it, you know, at like 12 or 13 years old. So when I listened to this song, I was like, oh my God, this sounds like a new version of Fleetwood Mac's Landslide. And it was modeled after that song. So I felt like, okay, come on. Give me my things. The musical ears be musicling. So that was like amazing. But then we get into the bouncy type, like, we about to go to the Hold Down Records. We get into the Do-Si-Do of it all. We get into Desert Eagle. We get into Tyron. We get into Riverdance. And this is my bag here. Then we get into Sweet Honey Bucket. Come on. I'm sitting here listening to this country album in the middle of the night. My thighs are shaking. I'm about to wake up my husband. They're shaking in the bed because I can't control them. It's like moving, like, what am I listening to? Come on, Beyonce. Like, I can see it now. The Meemaws and the Peepaws gonna be all on the line dance floor trying to bucket. Like, they about to, like a mechanical bull, like, they about to be in there going wild, okay? The line dance has never seen a Beyonce beat. It's about to be crazy. Like, to me, it's like, dang, should I go to Nashville this summer? Do I need to pack if a bag and travel to Nashville to make my way out there to experience these people experiencing Beyonce? You know what I mean? I'm trying to tell y'all right now, the line dance, and then just, I don't want this to be too long, so we'll cap it here, but I think you guys can pretty much understand and, you know, listen for yourself and, you know, enjoy it for yourself, the different tracks that you might like. Daughter? Huh? When I think about Daughter, Okay. First of all, it puts me in the mindset of a Quentin Tarantino film, right? Beyonce is just coming on. She's talking her. She's telling y'all, like, I am, okay, my father's daughter. And we all know who Matthew Knowles is. We ain't even got to get into that right now. We know what Matthew Knowles is. We know what he gives, okay? And then she gonna drop on us that she's colder than Titanic waters. Okay. And then she proceeds to break down the song until she breaks into an Italian opera right in the middle of the song. Bust down in the middle of the song. She just started going off in Italian in opera. Like, I had to pause it. When she started singing Italian, I had to pause it. 'Cause I was like, this thing is too hot. Like, the fire too, the tea too hot, the fire too hot. I had to back up off it. Because I was like, wait. Wait. Not to mention, she gave us 27 tracks. So I'm already having a hard time processing everything. Then she bust down another language in an opera tone. I'm sitting here like, completely speechless. I'm gonna end the review with that. I'm gonna wrap it up right there. This has been this week's deep dive. Stay tuned for our outro comments. All right, T Crew, this is my least favorite part of the podcast where I have to say goodbye to you. Thank you all for sharing the reels. Thank you all for attending the lives. You know, that's just something that I'm trying to get more used to, having my face in the camera, talking to you guys, connecting with you guys. Lunchtime seems to be the time that most people can come on. So I try to schedule the lives at least 48 hours ahead of time so you can come and join if you'd like to. But yeah, it's just been real fun getting to like read your comments in real time. You guys can ask me whatever questions you have in real time. So I'm going to try my best to keep up with specifically the Diddy case on there. But then as other things come up, we will do lives about other things as well as they come up. But thank you guys for your support in that. As always, convict the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. We won't stop until she gets the justice that she rightly deserves. Have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I love you for listening. Bye.